Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. How many of y'all got your Bible today? Amen. Now, I know a lot of you, not a lot of you, but there are quite a few folks who bring a cell phone or a tablet or an iPad. And I hope somewhere on that tablet that it says what it says on your Bible. What does it say? Holy, Holy Bible. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now, there's something special about your Bible. It's the only book on the planet that is inspired by God Himself. He's the one that wrote it. And the word holy, hagios, means set apart. And the word Bible, Biblia, means writings or scripture. This book is a sanctified book of scriptures. It's a set apart Bible. It's a set apart writing of God. And so there's nothing like the Bible. Amen. Not another book like it. It convicts and it converts. It challenges. It soothes and comforts. And by the way, you may think you're reading your Bible. Your Bible's reading you. Oh, let me say that again over here. You may think you're reading your Bible, but your Bible's reading you. And it's an amazing book. And what I have found out about the Bible is this, is that it's controversial. I challenge y'all to take your Bible with you wherever you go tomorrow. And I guarantee you, invariably, there'll be a debate, a discussion, some discord, something like that. People have lost their lives over what they believe about the Bible. And in this country today, you take that Bible with you, and I guarantee you're going to get into some interesting conversations with folks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Why? Because it's God's Word. It's filled by the Spirit of God. And the devil, Satan himself, doesn't want anybody to be looking at the Bible. And so why would God write a book that stirs up division among denominations? Why would God write a book that brings discord and disagreement into our lives? Why would God write a book? Well, there's a lot of reasons that men and women write books. We write books for education purposes. In other words, we write a book to inform people, to give folks knowledge. Some of you are working on a doctorate and you're writing a book for a degree or for a grade. We write books for education purposes, but did you know 1 Corinthians 1:25 says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. So God wouldn't write a book for education purposes because He knows it all. And men and women, I think, write books for compensation purposes. Man, I tell you, if you have ever written a bestseller, you have just raised your economic status. And so people write books for this stuff right here. You get royalties and incentives from writing a bestseller. You also, well, let me just say it like this. Haggai 2:8 says, all the silver and all the gold is mine, thus saith the Lord. So, God didn't write a book for compensation reasons either. Because He owns it all. He not only knows it all, He owns it all. And there's one final reason why men and women write books today, and it's for reputation purposes. And you write a book that's really a bestseller. I mean, it's something else. People really get a jump off seeing their name across the page of a book, the front cover. Having your name on the New York Times bestseller list. Going to the talk shows to talk about your book, you know. But Psalm 99 verse 5 says that we are to exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. And so God didn't write a book for reputation purposes either, because He's worthy of all. Amen. So again, we're back to that question, why would God write a book? Look at your neighbor and say, why would God write a book? I'm glad you asked. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're just going to move down through this passage of Scripture. And and we'll stop and make some commentary on each major truth that we want to talk about that's going to help us answer this question, why would God write a book? Look at verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start, Ellen, I think, at verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what perspective I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Now look at verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Here's the first reason that God wrote a book: to reverse a serious trend. To reverse a serious trend. Say that with me. To reverse a serious trend. Let me read the verse again. Verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. God wrote a book so that we might understand that trouble's coming our way from time to time. And there's a belief, a theology that's out there today called the prosperity gospel. Any of y'all ever heard it? And it basically says, if you will love God and serve God and walk with God, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you'll just love God and just do what He's calling you, your bank account will flourish. You'll be healed from all of your diseases. And you'll have the most unbelievable life. And if something bad happens to you, God's upset at you. Can I just tell you, that all sounds great. That all sounds good. Only problem with that is that's a lie from the pit of hell itself. God wrote us a book to tell us we're going to have trouble from time to time. He said, Paul wrote these words 2,000 years ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to let us know we're going to have problems from time to time. If you're trying to live a godly life for Christ Jesus' sake and His glory, guess what? The Bible says you will suffer persecution. How many of you like persecution? One? We'll send it all your way then, Kenda. All right? Here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. Listen to me. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. God gave us a book to reverse this serious trend. It's going on in Paul's day. It's still going on in our day. We're going to have trouble. Bless God, Jesus, the Word, came to get in trouble with us. Now, there's another thing that there's a serious trend that's developed over the years, and it was going on in Paul's day, and still going on in our day. Our society preaches and teaches this like there's no tomorrow. And here it is. This life is all about you. It's all about you. It's about what you want and what you desire and what your dreams are and your hopes and your wishes. Anybody understand? You just listen to the commercials. They're right there behind all of that. Some of y'all are looking at me like, where is he coming from? Do you remember the Wendy's commercial back in the 80s? Are you old enough to remember that? What? That little old lady, that little old cranky lady, what was her line? Where's the beef? And you'd see these beautiful buns, you know, and buttered up and huge. And then you'd open, and there'd be a little bitty burger about the size of a quarter in there. In other words, it's all about your choice. It's all about you. Well, I have come to recognize and realize this life is not about me. It's about Him and them. Amen. It's about bringing honor and glory to God and God alone. That's why I was created. And so God wrote a book to reverse these serious trends in our society. And so I just want to say to you, thank God we have a Bible that tells us the truth. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad we've got the truth. There's a second reason God wrote a book. To reveal Satan's tricks. Say that with me. To reveal Satan's tricks. Look at verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men will, and imposters. Now, an imposter is somebody who looks good on the outside, but they're rotten to the core on the inside. And Paul's writing to young Timothy, and he's telling Tiny Tim, he said, Tim, there's people coming to the church where you pastor, and they are coming to bring deception to the church. John chapter 10, in talking about Satan, calls him the definite article, the thief. How many of you understand? How many of you understand this, that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy? He wants to steal your joy, kill your spirit, and destroy your life. He's not for us. He's working against us. Satan hates God, and he hates God's people. And I'll tell you what he does. One of the things he'll do is he'll send people to the church who are really wolves, but they're dressed up like sheep. And a few goats as well. Satan will do anything to destroy your life. You give him an inch, he will take... How many of you know what a country mile is? An imposter is someone, like I said, who looks good on the outside but is rotten to the core on the inside. Things are not always what they seem. I remember, I used to love... For those of you that were here for our fellowship meal, and Casey Bizard cooked some of that pizza on call spaghetti for us. Y'all remember that? Great. I used to love to pull into Pizza on Call. That's where we kind of hung out in high school. But Miss Charlene Bizard had the best spaghetti. And one night, my buddy and I, old Greg Proctor, we sat down, and Greg was eating a pizza, and Miss Charlene brought out this piping hot plate of spaghetti. And boy, I couldn't wait to get into it. And I said, Greg, you go ahead and get started. I need to go wash my hands. I went to the bathroom, washed my hands, came back out. I was so looking forward to eating that plate of spaghetti and that buttered up French bread, you know, and nice salad. So I sat down, and man, I stuck my fork down in the middle of that piping hot spaghetti, twisted the fork, y'all getting hungry? And put it in my mouth. And I want to tell you, my mouth exploded. It was on fire. That was the hottest, spiciest caliente spaghetti. And you know, and Greg, I know, I looked up at him, and he's about to fall out on the floor laughing. And what that rascal had done was he had taken the top part off of the spaghetti and taken those crushed red pepper flakes and just emptied the whole bottle in there and then put the spaghetti back on top. Things aren't always what they seem to be. That's what he's talking about here. Satan will, he wants to deceive us. He's a liar. Capital L, every time he's got his mouth open, and he will deceive. Right now, he's trying to deceive the unconverted. Some of you are here today, and you need to be born again. And you know what Satan's doing? Right now, he's telling you, yeah, you just put this off. You don't need to do this. Hey, you're a good person. You got plenty of time. Some of you are here this morning, and you claim the name of Christ, and you've never been biblically baptized. And guess what? Oh, you don't need to do that just yet. That water in there is too cold. He'll lie to you. He'll do anything he can to destroy your life. He'll deceive the unconverted. He'll also deceive the uncommitted. I mean, he's good at it. And how many of you this week woke up after a long night, hard day's work the night before, and heard something like this? You really don't have time to get into your Bible. You don't really have the time to pray. You're going to be late to work. How many of y'all heard something like that this week? Come on, be honest. Don't sit out here and look all spiritual at me. I know I'm one of you. And every now and then, even the preacher, even the pastor, I get up before 6 on Sunday mornings, And you know what God told me? Not God, it was Satan. What he said to me a few weeks ago? Call Billy and let him preach this morning. Or call somebody else. You're too tired. You're worn out. You're not going to amount to a hill of beans this morning. God can't use you. You don't need to go to worship. How many of you understand the fact that we need one another? And we need to come together and worship God and lift up Jesus. He will even deceive the... Right now, Greg, I promise you, this is going on right now. Now, if I give my regular tithe and I give an offering to the Gideon ministry, I'm not going to have enough left over to do what I want to do. I know how he is. He does this stuff to me. He'll deceive the uncommitted. He'll deceive the unconsulted. Some of y'all in here today have got a big decision you need to make. And you know what Satan's going to do? He's going to do his best to get you isolated. He don't want you under Billy Walker's teaching. You know, I don't know how many times in Sunday school I have gotten a word from God on a decision that I needed to make. And he'll tell you. He will tell you. God doesn't care about this. You know what's best for your life. He doesn't. You know what's best for you. You don't need to consult him. God's always got a better plan than I do. And Satan's bet. He's going to do whatever he can. So, you know what God did for us? He gave us a book. So that we might recognize his... The old sinister minister of fear and doubt, that we might recognize his tricks. Bless God, he's after you and he's after me. And he'll do what? He does not have our best interest at heart. We've got a Bible that tells us that Satan is after us for our destruction. He hates God and he hates God's people. Aren't you glad we've got a Bible to counteract all that mess? All right, here's the third thing. Here's what I really wanted to get to. Man. God wrote a book to reverse a serious trend. He wrote a book to reveal Satan's tricks. And he wrote a book to revive saving truth. He wrote a book to revive saving truth. Say that with me. To revive saving truth. Look at verse 14. But you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God wrote a book. He wrote a book so that we might meet His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book has words of salvation in it. God wrote a book so that you might come to be in a saving relationship with the Lord. That's what he's saying here. Now, Tiny Tim, from very early, he had a mama and a grandmama, Phyllis, that poured the Word of God into his life. Just like many of you did with your children when they were growing up. And when the time was right, guess who came? There's Wayne Ard out there. Brother, God bless you. When the time was right, the old preacher came to town, the Apostle Paul. And Timothy had been, he had been saturated with the Word of God from just a little boy. And when Paul opened up the Word, those Old Testament Scriptures, and pointed to Jesus, bless God, young Timothy got saved. Amen. The Bible was written so that you might be saved. That's why it was written, so that you might. It's a hymn book. It's all about Him. He's all throughout the book. God, anybody know what John chapter 20 verse 31 says? John said, I have written these things to you who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. God wrote a book so that you might come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Are you saved? Then you better thank God for the book. You can't be saved apart from the Word of God. You can't hardly separate the written Word from the living Word. Get in your Bible. Now, look at verse 16. All Scripture. What does the word all mean? Every word. Every T that's crossed. Every I that's dotted in the Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that the Greek word for inspiration of God is the word theopneustos. How many of you could care less about that? I get that. But theos means God, and pneuo means breath. What he's saying here is that God breathed life into His Word. And every time in the Bible when God breathes on something, it comes to life. Hallelujah. Lydia, God breathed on a lump of clay back there in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and old Adam sprang to life. And in February, God's going to breathe again and give birth to a little baby, don't know yet. But every time God breathes, something comes to life. I mean, over there in Ezekiel chapter 37, there's a valley full of dry bones, and God breathed, and guess what? A valley of dead dry bones sprang to life. You look over there at Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. 120 men and women had been up in an upper room praying for 10 days. And then God breathed and the church came to life. Yeah, over there, I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21. That holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit of God, spoke and wrote the Word of God. God breathed life into His Scriptures, and they came to life. Aren't you thankful for your Bible? It has saving truth. Now look at the latter part of verse 16. The Bible, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. What does that word mean? How many of you like a prophet? Three of you? Help us, Jesus. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, don't gloss over those four things. The Bible is useful. It's profitable. It is good for doctrine. You see, doctrine tells us what is right. What's right? How many of you know that we need to know in this day and time what's right? Well, the Bible tells us that. And then for reproof, the Bible tells us what's not right. The Bible not only tells you what's right, it tells you what's wrong. Do we need to know what's wrong today? Yes! I'm amazed at some of the things that have happened in this country over the last 50 years, and they are dead wrong! If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong! And then, listen to this, for the Bible not only tells you what is right, what's not right, but for it's profitable for what? Correction. I tell you, the Bible's good about telling me how to get right. Amen? The Bible will correct you. I told you the Bible reads you. It also speaks to you through the Spirit of God. And when something ain't right, that's bad grammar but good theology. And by the way, that song they sang was bad grammar but it's great theology. He ain't never done me nothing but good. Whew. You know what? God needs to breathe right here and bring us to life. We've got life. Where was I? Prophet for correction. The Bible will tell you not only what is right, what's not right, it'll tell you how to get right. And then for training in righteousness, or instruction in righteousness, the Bible will tell you not only how to get right, but how to stay right. Whew. I won't tell you, there is a treasure. The Bible is a treasure chest of golden truth. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Get in the Bible. I've been in homes all over Clarksville, and most of the homes I've been in have Bibles. But sadly, most of them hadn't been cracked since Jesus was here. Cracked open. Got dust on them. The Bible is, oh goodness. And I will make you a promise. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a follower of Christ, if you begin reading your Bible and obeying your Bible, you will mature and grow spiritually as a believer. Hello? What the church needs is a bunch of not a wah, immature little babes in Christ. And every time the Spirit of God does something in most of our churches, there's always wah. I'm giving y'all truth. If we're going to mature, second mile, as a body of believers, we got to get in the Word and do what it says. And then secondly, the more you read your Bible, the better you'll get to know your Bible. And the better you get to know your Bible, the better you get to know Jesus. And the better you get to know Jesus, the more like Him you'll become. Give God praise. Give Him praise today. Hallelujah. I'm glad, Billy, I didn't stay at home in the bed today. Brother, this brother can handle the Word here. I've heard him. And so I've said all of that to say this. Do you know Him? I'm not talking about do you know about Him. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They all know about Him. But they don't know Him. I mean, do you know Him here and here? Is He your Lord and Savior? Is He speaking to you? I want to make it just as simple as I can this morning. I want to get the cookies down low enough where everybody can eat. Listen to me. The Bible says that we're all sinners. Every single one of us in this room is a sinner. We're born into sin, and a few years later we prove that we're sinners. Nobody had to teach my little boy how to tell a whopper of a lie. He's got a sin nature. But Jesus, the Word of God, left heaven and came to this earth, fully God, fully man, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then paid the sacrifice, became the payment for your sin so that you could go free. And the Bible says if you'd just be willing to receive what He did for you as a gift, just receive it by faith, surrendering to Him this morning by calling on His name, Jesus, save me. He will save you right where you sit. Doesn't have to be some big, long, elaborate prayer. God's looking at this right here. Some of you all in this room need to be saved today. The Bible is a book of saving truth. Some of you need to come to Christ today. And you need to take your step. Some of you all have come to Christ, but you're a private Christian. Let me tell you, there's coming a day. Not going to be any privacy. You know, Jesus died stark naked out in front of everybody. And He expects us to take our stand for Him. And the first thing you need to do after salvation is be baptized. Not for your salvation, but the fact that you've been saved. And some of you just need to commit to growing as a believer by getting into the Word of God. Father, I pray right now for those that are within the sound of my voice. It's decision time. And we've all got to decide what we're going to do with the Word of God. We've heard it, we believe it, and we want to stand up for it right now. Give those that need to come forward for prayer the strength that they need. Give those the courage that need to come for salvation. For those that need baptism, just give them the courage to do what they need to do. Oh, help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.